Blog Talk Radio.
الحمد لله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. Let's go ahead and color our Facebook, YouTube folks. We will give them their Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim as well. Haja, how you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. No complaint. I'm well. Yeah.
You know the answer to that.
How are you?
It ain't gonna do you no good. Anyway, I'm fine. Can you hear me? Okay, good. Because when I mute the speakers on my side coming from you so that I can only get it through my ear, sometimes I worry if I'm not being heard by you. But, as you say,
I hear it all.
So, what's going on with you? What's happening? What's happening? How you chill today?
I am settling into Monday after our grand celebration of your daughter, my sister, yesterday. Today has been a, you know, like my body knows that Ramadan is en route. And so you start to evaluate the space and the environment to invite the angels to feel very comfortable here. So I'm going down my list of things that I have been kind of putting off that I want to get done so that I can create my in-home masjid energy, right? I've been good getting certain projects done and a lot of reflecting today, just a lot of reflecting. But I'm good. I'm so grateful that Allah has trusted me with the ability to sit in the discomfort of figuring things out and knowing what's next. So it's nice.
Yeah, those uncomfortable circumstances are motivators. Because you want to get out of the discomfort, right? Nothing that you said suggests that you are at some level of extreme discomfort that you're trying to adjust. But there is a saying that says, if you're going through hell, keep going.
Keep going.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, okay, the only way you're going to get through it is to go on through. You know, don't stop.
It.
Keep it pushing, right? So, alhamdulillah, that's good. That's wonderful. So you're on your normal Monday regimen, personal?
No, I wasn't able to catch that little window. Today.
That's something.
And then plus I needed to drink a lot of water. Like, I didn't drink a lot of water last night, so I needed to get myself hydrated. Yeah. So, yeah, no, not this
Yeah. Morning. Alhamdulillah, that's all good. Allah still blesses your intention, which is what my thesis is going to continue to be. I spent a lot of time setting up last week, getting ready for the power of intention, what I knew I had to say about the power of intention, and knowing that what I had to say was a little bit beyond the borders of the quote-unquote the average person. No disrespect, no over or underestimating anybody's intelligence. I'm just saying. It's like this is not the kind of conversation that you, as a general rule, hear amongst us as Muslims and the like, and those who dabble into these kinds of things. We're talking about the power of intention, for example, and so you know, but they kind of do it in secret, you know, and not really, you know, out of fear that. Okay, maybe there's some bid'ah in here. Maybe there's some shirk possibilities and that. You know, being afraid, that's as you should be if you don't really have the foundations that leads you there.
Right.
But that's always my intention, to provide those foundations. And I expect that people who listen to us, they already lean into the fact that I can be trusted, right? Intellectually, spiritually, et cetera. But of course, if they haven't gotten there yet, I can't help you anyway. But otherwise, I look forward to being able to continue on that. So to say, it's like if you had the intention, if it was something that's your habit and there's something that obstructs your ability to fulfill and like keep consistent with that habit in al-Islam, you get credit as though. If you were obstructed by means outside of your control, then you still get the reward, and Allah knows best.
Yeah, Allah knows best. I think that it's so important to have that conversation about intention, because I'm just really big on identifying when you get this inspired thought as to what is going to be best for you, right? Because it wasn't like with anything that I choose to do to be better, to grow, to get stronger, that there are moments where there are suggestions that are put on your mind, body, and spirit that, you know, it's kind of like, oh, that's a little inconvenient. Like the ideal of me getting up every morning at 5 a.m. was just kind of like, yeah, how am I going to do that? But I knew that I needed time specifically for myself in that time. But I didn't go extreme where it was just like, you know, the inspired thought happened to me on Monday and immediately on Tuesday, I'm doing it. No, I prepared my body. I just got up a little bit earlier each day, a little bit. I didn't take this extreme, but I recognized the value in it. And then at the time that I was doing, I didn't quite understand the, after doing studying about how the angels descend and the morning hours, like this is the time where prayer takes place. And like, you know, you hear different little moments of it, but then when those confirmations, the confirmation of why your spirit was like drawn to want that for itself in the midst of you trying to figure out navigating this life, that Allah sends the confirmation that says, see, this is, and then you're that much more motivated to stick to the routine, to stick to the ritual of doing such. And I think that there are so many parts of us that we have been, that has stolen our ability to trust when something is given to you, that in the midst of it, you might be like, yeah, you know, that's extreme. But it's like, no, like, give it a moment. Like, it's not about jumping right into it, but study. What is it about that idea, that inspired thought, that is drawing you in that direction? And is it good for you in your way of life? And I just truly believe that Allah sends us the tools and the inspired thoughts based on what we've been praying for, based on what we've been asking for, and being willing to surrender to that.
Alhamdulillah. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to let you go ahead and say more. I know sometimes the saying is say less, right? But we don't want you to say less right now. We want you to say more.
Thank you, Daddy.
All right.
Thank you, Daddy.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum to everyone on Blog Talk, those that are joining us via Facebook and YouTube. I am Hajja Kamila Shuaib, and I'm honored to have made it to another Monday to share and hold space with our community as we continue to figure this thing out, right? So my calm, like my energy and calm today is because, like I said, I was able to really spend time very reflective today. I didn't have any distractions of extra meetings and a lot of work that I needed to get done. I literally just gave myself the moment to allow my body to decide, like, okay, Kamila, what do you need today? And I woke up with this, like, fierce headache. And I had a headache yesterday, too, yesterday morning. And as I functioned through the day, it alleviated. And today I kept aspirin on the side. I didn't take it. I just wanted to give myself a minute to say, okay, what is it that we need? And that's why I made the choice where today I'm just going to drink water, keep drinking water, keep myself hydrated, rest, and all of that, because that's what was on my heart to do. And so when I have those moments like that, you open yourself up to tons of thoughts because you're not distracted by the doing, the having, there's no distractions there. And of course there are like different things that I'm shifting towards, especially as an entrepreneur, you're constantly in your entrepreneurial mindset and brain. And I am evaluating, like, is this going well? The switches and shifts that I'm making business-wise, like, is this going well? And there's no real way to know if it's going well until you get to the point where it is fully engaged, the idea. Like, you're building it out and you're committing your time and effort and energy to creating it. And it's not until whatever it is, if it's a product, if it's a class, if it's an event, it's not until it hits that you recognize, okay, this is working, right? And so I'm sitting in the space of trust. And sitting in that space of trust requires you to not second guess or to fear whatever it is that Allah wills. That's my opinion. Like, that's where my mind is. I'm seeking to strengthen the muscle of that I went whatever allows, I fully, without any tremble, like, that's Allah's will. And it's not this matter of, how do I word this? Like, it's not this matter of when you surrender fully to Allah's will that you're afraid that it won't go your way. Right? The best way I can say it. English really trips me up sometimes. It's like, it's not going your way. When in actuality, I have come to a space now in my life where whatever it is for the good. Whatever Allah decides, it's for the good. And just like what the Imam was speaking about, like, even in the discomfort of certain areas, it's still for the good. And, but you always have to train your body to respond and surrender to it. So you'll have, you know, the nervousness, you'll get a little bit of the anxiety and things like that. And you have to remind yourself that it's like, no, we doing this. Like, Allah wants it, we doing this. We're not questioning it. It's what we do. And you got to get on board. And the sooner you get on board, the sooner the anxiety will go away, the sooner the nervousness will go away. Just get on board. And so it takes a while. This is just human. It's a human movement, right? And so being able to, when you speak about, you know, people who meditate, they speak about stillness. The stillness is honoring the emotion, honoring the feeling, honoring what it is that you're doing. Like, don't bypass it. It's like, okay, why do you feel that way? What is it about this feeling? What does it say about where you are right now in your life and where you want to go? Like, you have the conversation with the emotion. As a past theater student, you know, the art of Shakespeare's work, or the way that he wrote, he would put certain characteristics, he would personify them in characters. Like, though it was the name of the character was the embodiment of jealousy. So he just put all of the aspects of a particular emotion into this character vessel. So, like, if you want to know what jealousy is, study this character. Like, everything about this character is going to exude jealousy. If you want to, you know, look at this character for, you know, insecurities, so, okay, this is the full embodiment of that. Because he held space, as when people use these terms, holding space, he held space for the emotion. So it's like I have the conversation with that part of myself of, okay, what are these feelings that are coming up? How are you going to navigate them, right? And it's a great exploration. My imagination is rich, right? And I started out the morning. Monday is my morning where I meet with my group of ladies, the accountability clique. And it was like we kind of held space for the conversation about responsibility. and how responsibility is so demanding, and it requires a lot out of us, and how do we balance out the desire and the responsibility, yet recognizing that in the responsibility, you get what you desire, right? So it was a beautiful conversation. And so when I walked away from that, then I get into this mode of digesting all of the conversation and the exchange that was had. I move into this space around, you know, Camila, what do you really want? What does that really look like, what you're asking for? What is it going to require of you? What level of responsibility is it going to require of you in order to achieve that thing? And I always consider myself someone that's pretty simple. Like, the things that I desire or seek out, it's pretty simple. It's not complex. I'm not looking for owning my own island or, you know, when it comes to material stuff. Like, no, it's not. I don't consider it to be a big, big deal. But as far as, like, experiences or conversations or the exploration of a particular emotion or holding space with other individuals and seeing and discovering the unfolding of the healing process and all of that stuff, right, then it starts to feel a little different, right? So, of course, I went into, as we were getting close to time for us to come together, for the live, I said, you know, what are we going to talk about today, Camila? Because my brain has been free to explore, you know, those areas of myself that's like, that I have business and work and life have been like taking priority that I didn't have time to really sit with myself. And so I was like, you know, it's always about, you know, me better understanding my relationship to the Quran. And it has become, and I'm so grateful for this part, it has become this burning, like, drive and desire to be invited to really understand this beautiful revelation. And so the nerves kick in around, you know, am I ready of being able to really dive into this book? That's the human mind. You know, the self-doubt kicks in because you can't help but to think about how you have received it through other individuals, whether they're teachers, scholars, and so forth, that we have a tendency to separate ourselves from the ideal of being qualified for this beautiful revelation that's for all of humanity. But though that narrative is the thing that I was like, I need to unpack. And so I look at my old notes because, like, I'll get a thought for something and I recognize that when those thoughts, the answer to it or why that came up doesn't always hit me at the time that it comes up. So, a thought will come up and I'll be like, what is it about that thought? So I have to write it down because over time it'll make sense. It may not hit me immediately at the time that it comes up. And so every time this is the in real time with Haja Kamila Shafei, right? You know how I tell you guys how I start to unfold as I speak things out loud. There's this unfolding that's starting to make sense. So here is the in real time moment, right? I think I'm going to have to like trademark that. That's my thing. And I always think about like when it comes close or near Ramadan, there are life challenges or obstacles that pop up. And the first thing that many of the individuals within my social circle, we always say, that means that's because Ramadan is on the way. Now, for women, like, that's the same thing. Like, when we'll have certain emotional moments where we'll be like, oh, okay, this must mean that my cycle is on the way, right? So when we start to feel a little antsy or we're craving a certain thing that we want to eat, it's like that's the body telling us. We usually have the conversation with like, okay, I know this is happening because my cycle is on the way, right? Yeah, and side note, the fact that the new moon is, you know, for Ramadan, but, you know, that's just a little note for me to put down. So here in this moment that with seeing all of the things that are happening in our lives is because we're knowing like, okay, Ramadan is on the way. And it's like we're preparing ourselves for it. We're starting to see the things that are surfacing that really need our attention, that really need us to focus and work on and towards, right? And it is in that moment that the thing that came up for me was there's always these lists. We set these, we talk about intention, right? We set these intentions or these goals around this Ramadan, I'm not going to eat sugar, or this Ramadan, I'm only going to do plant-based. This Ramadan, I'm going to finish the entire Quran on time. I'm going to do each juz, each day. Like, you know, we set these different things about how we're going to enter into this beautiful month that we have been blessed to see again, inshallah. And this idea of utilizing the Quran as a challenge or, and I don't think that it's the right time for me to say challenge, but something to conquer, something to like, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to do this, and I'll do, as opposed to allowing the Quran to do what it does to you. You can't do anything to it. It's like it's about you allowing it to do what it has to do to you. Like you have to allow it to like really engage and penetrate your heart, not you diving into it and like, you show me this, show me that, right? And it's in that when I go back to my notes, where I look at the experience of how Allah prepared the prophets of Allah alayhi wa sallam to receive the revelation. And this that journey to the cave of life, this journey, right? That is physical. Body had to prepare itself for the capacity to carry this revelation. And having the capacity to carry this revelation required a journey, required this, you know, full commitment to seeking, right? And everyone, it hasn't failed. I mean, if I meet a person where this has not been the case, I'd be surprised. But every Muslim that I've come in contact with and check in about our Ramadan, there's always this moment where someone says that I discovered something else in the revelation that, you know, I part of them are like, I wish I would have known that last year, really understood it last year. It would have helped me through this, and this, right? When in actuality, the fact that you went through what you went through opened you up to recognize understanding what it is that Allah allowed your heart to recognize or to be revealed on your heart. You had to go through whatever that challenge, that test, or that assignment was in order to fully receive the revelation that Allah allowed you to see and recognize for your life. And I thought that thought is so powerful and beautiful, because there are things that we're journeying through right now. There are revealing itself right now. There are things that are really testing our patience or our resilience or our faith even, that are really pressing upon us. And it is softening the heart to be prepared for whatever it is that Allah is going to reveal onto you to better understand your current situation. You can't get it if you have not fully seen the whole picture of it. Like, there is this part of us that wants to know. It's like, help me know. I want to know this. I need to understand this because I'm challenged with it. And it's like, I get that. But some parts you're not really ready for what that looks like to take on the responsibility for it. So I'm going to give you what you can handle and what you can manage. And as you learn to manage and strengthen yourself in that idea and that understanding, then now you're prepared for me to give you the next part, right? And then you work through and you manage and you're able to live through that. And it's like, okay, now you're ready for the next part. And this is why it's so beautiful that we are able to revisit the Quran during this most holy month of Ramadan. Because though, with inshallah, I pray that all of us have had the capacity to consistently visit the Quran prior to Ramadan, but it's not, Allah knows best. It's not the point for you to beat yourself up. Maybe you didn't have the capacity for it. It's okay, right? But the desire for really diving in and knowing and understanding it is the part that we want to start coming into. So when we come into Ramadan and we understand what it is that we are currently experiencing and what it is that we want to prepare ourselves for, like, those are the moments that Allah inspired it on our heart to really think about, like, you know what, Allah, I want to have a life that looks like this, this, this. You know what, Allah, I want to experience this, this, and this. I want to, you know, build community. What can I do to contribute to my community? What can I do to strengthen my family ties and relationships? What can I do to be healthier? What can I do? Like, those are the moments, right? So we're being tested wherever those specific areas are. You know your life. You know those parts of yourself that needs the work and the attention and the understanding. You know where those parts are. And that is something that is so very sacred, like, between just you and Allah. That because you know that this is the time that you don't look to, you know, conquer the Quran and, like, use it as this challenge, but you are going to it fully prepared to receive the answers, the instructions, the understanding that will enrich your life based on how your heart has been prepared on your life journey up until this beautiful month that we're about to engage in. So reflect on the journey. If you're a journaler, take a moment to just, like, what has been happening between last Ramadan up until this Ramadan? What were those moments that, you know, you remember going to the prayer rug and just pouring yourself out? What do you recall being that moment where you were so disappointed about a certain thing that happened? Where was a moment that you were overwhelmed with gratitude? Where was a moment where you just really erupted with a level of joy and happiness? Like, all of the moments, not just the moments that are challenging, but the moments that were just, like, amazing, right? What was the significant emotional events are not always have to be a significant bad emotional event. The emotional event of when I think about a time where I laughed my hardest, right? I have, you know, I have these different moments where me and my son will sit and binge watch movies. And it was just the most joyous time. Like, even to hear your adult child laugh, like a full-on guttural laugh, is the most amazing and overwhelming experience, right? To see that level of laughter, you know, or to be present, to be a consult to someone who has an aha moment about some part or aspect of their life. Like, all of it, an emotional experience, happiness, joy, sadness, you know, gratitude, just all of them. When you identify those and you are like, okay, I want to better understand what this journey got my heart prepared for as I enter into this beautiful revelation, that the revolution is not about this level of mastery of just like allow it to do the work on you. Allow it to do the work on your heart, on your life. Allow it to bathe and cleanse you, right? As opposed to you being like, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I did that. Yeah. That's fine. Healthy competition is good. But I don't want us to miss out on how layered and beautiful the experience is. And so I say all of that to say, that is where my focus is, because I'm excited to see, because this has been quite a journey from last Ramadan leading up to this one. It has been quite the journey. And so I am very curious and excited to see what it is that Allah will choose to reveal to me and for me and for my life entering into this Ramadan. And to allow myself, even in the parts where it may reveal a part of myself that really needs some work, that really needs some correction, that I'm okay with doing what is required to get that in alignment, so that when we leave out of this beautiful month, inshallah, that we truly do come out of Ramadan, especially new as a newborn baby, right? That we are completely ready to really engage the world with a new set of eyes and a new set of understanding and a cleansed heart. That may Allah bless us with the ability to be gentle with ourselves through this process and to stay committed to knowing that Allah loves us so much that He has given us this opportunity once again to revisit this beautiful holy month of Ramadan. So with that, I'm going to call the man back into the room.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa Bismillah Rahman Rahim. All right. Yeah, I was trying to find the specific verse and chapter so that I could share with the audience. My little foot trying to talk to me right now. I think I need some whatever you call those. pH balanced water. In any case, now trying to find a verse, but there is a verse in the Quran where it says that if Allah was to give everyone what they asked for, most of the people would become inordinate transgressors, but He sends it down in due measure because He's with His servant, well acquainted and aware. Right, so God said, "No, I ain't gonna give you this right now. You ain't gonna never hurt yourself." You know, so hold on, keep getting ready, right?
Yes.
And one of the exit wisdoms for me from the Nation of Islam experience. We would have to talk about male-female relationships and economics, but the point was that I didn't have no job, and mama and you, as a babe in arms, practically, yeah, you were a babe in arms. Mama needs groceries, baby needs shoes, or something like that, right? So I had a load of, because I was a dedicated soldier, selling papers on the stage of 14th and Broadway. But it was one of those times where I said, man, you know, what was at the address? It ain't working. You need to do something, right? So, so I still did my duty for getting off of those, getting off of those papers, those Muhammad Speaks at the time. Muhammad Speaks, but I only knew it was late in the game, right? So it had to be, it's still in the Nation of Islam. Any case, so I said to myself, standing on the corner after selling my last paper that for that day, for every supply there's demand, for every demand there's supply. And I said, Allah, and I do, I have receipts for, I believed in God unseen. Of course, I was really, you still didn't see Farad, so even if you thought he was unseen, you still didn't see it. But I was still, I remember having a talk, I'm gonna finish up this piece right here, but because I was a lieutenant, squad leader, blah, blah. In the last days of the fish, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had got bringing back that Whiting H&G from Peru and the rest of that. So we would get, it's like casket size slabs of Whiting H&G, right? Mm-hmm. And we didn't have any refrigerator trucks or anything like that. It's like, You take your issue, now you figure out how you gonna sell it, right? And that is, so we have these long, long 20, 40-pound slabs of Whiting H&G, and we got to get them moved before the sun get too high because that stuff's gonna melt. So we handle it, right? But see, as the squad leader and lieutenant, I had to get the troops ready to, let's go do this. Let's go do this, right? So I'm saying, we called on God. And I said, I remember in the little fish truck that we were in, I said, I'm talking about the God that you can't see, right? I'm FYI talking like that, right? I'm saying, and that's the God you got to call on. You got to move that fish. You got to move that much fish in a day. Wasn't no packing. This was before we had, you may not remember these, we started getting 5-pound packs and 10-pound packs with, artistically banging, but otherwise it was straight raw, like we were at the New York fish market or something like that. Hey, but we did it. Some beautiful, beautiful conversation. We'll have another time about what we did, because we would go down on the stroll and say, we were selling to the people who were quote unquote doing business down there, right? We had little Coleman stoves and stuff on the back of these little cars, and we was cooking that fish up right there.
I know that's right.
While they working, you understand what I'm saying? So we were,
yes.
It's good. Hey, you can't work if you don't eat, right? so we did that. But in the case of the Muhammad Speaks scenario, it was this that I said, for every supply there's a man, for every man there's a supply. And so I said, look, God knows what I need is. God knows what my needs are. So He knows what a supply is, and He knows what I can supply. He knows where the demand for what I can supply. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so I started out, I was just right face, and I just started knocking on doors right down on 14th and Broadway where the businesses were. I walked in and said, I need a job. I follow instructions, and I'm good. I'm dependable. I'm good manners. I'm polite. Those are the qualifications. It didn't matter who I was talking to, but my decision was, look, just knock on the door. Just reach out for what you want. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, go to the next one.
Right.
Wallahi, 3 doors down. That is on the third door, and I remember it well, Radio Shack. It was a Radio Shack down there, and that was that FOI's first job after, hey, look, papers can't do it all, so, hey, we got to do that. We'd have moved 2 or 3 times. Somebody out there know what I'm talking about. We'd have moved 2 or 3 because we got the conversation that gets you in. You look good. The woman is nice and neat. The man is very nice and mannerable, blue, 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 right? So they give you this non-credit, allow you in the door because you can be trusted. But then 3 months later, If not 6 months later, oh man, these folks ain't, y'all got to go. So that happened enough times where it said, your mama would say, man, this ain't working. Right? So get it together, right? And so I'm saying all that to say that God knows when you're ready for whatever it is that you're ready for, right? But you have to believe that yeah. God has that kind of presence in your life, right? When you, and I'm taking, there's so many examples of that, but I'm gonna let you off screen, and
okay.
I'm gonna go and do my little contribution today. Alhamdulillah. Assalamualaikum. Alhamdulillah. So we're going to continue on this matter of intention. Last week, so those who are Blog Talk was, you know, as we sometimes say, to understand it, Blog Talk was tripping last week. So we actually didn't put the actual formal piece on Blog Talk. But since we're on both all platforms right now, I'm going to go back to that. And I'll say this also, that I spent a lot of time when out of sincerity and out of, let's just call it conscience in a manner of speaking, because I wanted to say what I was saying. I didn't want people to miss what I was saying. I didn't want people to be undermined by the wrong perception of what's being said. And I know that this conversation is on the outer edges of what the average one in our association gives attention to, at least overtly or publicly, whatever you want to, however you want to say it. But I spent that time already, so I'm not going to overstay that aspect today. I'm going to spend more time with the very concept it is that I want us to grasp. I want to share, and this information is, I operate upon this, I mean, by the grace of Allah, and I'm trying to improve my operation on it. I want to say also, Allah's providence is so evident. Sometimes, you know, Allah does so much in our lives that we can take it for granted. It's like, yeah, look what Allah did this. Excuse me, Allah did this and Allah did that. Pardon me, this one. And we kind of just keep on going, right? So I said, no, you need to start keeping those diaries of interventions from God, things that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the one that did it. He's the one that, he's speaking to you in this sense. So I'm just going to read the last two. This happened yesterday. Saturday. Actually, it started Friday, the two that I'm going to mention. And that is, you know, I had to make an early run to local grocery store to pick up something. And, you know, it's surprising, some of you already know, you don't have to have cash in your pocket to get through your day and do what you need. You got your credit cards literally on your phone, your debit cards literally on your phone, even if you are even having hard cards, debit cards in your pocket, in your wallet, and purse, and what have you. You don't have to have coins and paper money in order to go through your life nowadays. And so what would happen if you live in neighborhoods like I do, I'm right on the edge and in the midst. My movement is in and through and upon the tent cities and the homeless, da, 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 da. I don't want you to mistake my neighborhood, but my movement, when I move out of my address, it ain't too far, you know, 2-3 blocks before, you're in the thick of it. So, any case. So, and when you go to the grocery store, local grocery store, et cetera, you're always going to be met by someone. As a general rule, I'd say 95% of the time, someone, hey, brother, can you get it in? So the point is, when you understand the blessings that come to you and the source of blessing that the needy are for you, if you're in a condition to help the needy, they're like a spiritual ATM. They're like a spiritual ATM. What I mean by that is, if you have something that you can give to them, and if they say, God bless you, I want to hear them say, God, I don't say, if they don't say anything, I don't say anything to them. But when they do say, God bless you, it's like, oh, it makes me so happy, because I know, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is hearing that dua in my behalf, mashallah. And then the reward, I can expect it. And this Quran says, and good deeds are best as a reward. The good deeds are best as a reward and as a source of hope. So you get a great deal of hope. Okay, so the point is that, so several days I was not, I hadn't done any shopping, anything like that, and where you know, you do use your card, they say, do you want cash back, right? Okay, so that day, Friday, I said, yeah, cash back. But I was specifically thinking about being able to give so that, and this is no riya, I don't want to spoil my blessing, but this is no riya, I'm just giving you an example. And so, you know, so you got to make a decision as well. Okay, I said $15, you know, and just $15, said, can you give me 2 5s and 5 1s, blah, blah. So they did that, put them in my pocket. This is Jumu'ah. This is the morning of Jumu'ah. And so day goes on, get to Jumu'ah. When I finish up with Jumu'ah, I'm, you know, coming through the cafe area of a multi-purpose room, but it serves also as a cafe, the masjid. And so I'm coming through there, and Sister Zainab, she has her wonderful and delicious vegan delights. It's wonderful. She has some samosas. I got two of them, man. And after I started eating it when I got home, man, I had to text her and let her, this is vegan. Man, that stuff was just like straight ground beef. And it was good. She had all that real spring roll sweet sauce kind of thing it had on it. It was, man, it was, I said, I wish I had gotten four. But in any case, when I stepped up to get mine from her, then, you know, because I love to patronize, right? And so when she I said, how much I owe you? And I got a number of things, and she said, oh, it's $28. And the brother right next to me, he said, I got it. So right there. And it was double that my $15 that I had drawn for the person. But as I got closer, for someone who was needy, as I got close to the door on the way out, there was somebody who was, you know, asking in that way, right? And so that I asked the person, asked the person for it, and So I went and gave them what they needed at the time, and there was something that I just made a brief note. Oh, but the thing that I ordered that hadn't been paid for, and I asked Zainab, how much was it? She said it was $15. Oh, that's how it went. She said it was $15. I had just given the other person $15. That was the $15. $15 that I had asked for the cash back with the interest of helping the other person. And it just, the $15 that I gave her was $15 that came right back to me. I know the story got a little convoluted because I'm aiming at another thing. But the point is, it's a reinforcement of Allah said, whatever you spend in Allah, He will return it to you, right? He will return it to you. So that $15 that I had just given, the $15 came right back. It's like, came right back. And it happened, I mentioned that as well, because it was that same thing that happened later that night, going to a store, had to buy something, right? And here's another opportunity at the point of sale where it said, do you want to make a donation to whatever? It could be cancer or homelessness or whatever, you know, food banks, whatever it was. I said, now that is not something that I regularly do, but for some reason, and it said, yeah, you know, so in this case, I just said, well, I'll just do a dollar, just on GP, right? Just do a dollar, following the same spirit. It's like, okay, just make a donation, make a contribution, because it's an opportunity for you to get a blessing. All right, so then at this place, this is Walgreens, in fact. At this place, you know, you type in your phone number, blah, blah, blah. Then, okay, as I was finishing my purchase, then the cashier says, oh, you have a dollar. You have a dollar in whatever, bonus books, whatever you want to call it. You have a dollar in bonus books. And that struck me in my mind right away. I said, look at that. You don't usually do anything. You have the choice of $1, $5, $10, whatever. They say, okay, well, let's just do a dollar. That was just on GP. And then before I could get my receipt for what I was purchasing, they're telling me, oh, you have a dollar in bonus, but do you want to use it? I say, yes, use it. But it's not the dollar. It's not the money. It's Allah saying, I told you, whatever you spend, it's going to come back to you. And it has happened on many, many occasions. And how many lives? So it's like the point is to stop being surprised by it. That's one thing. Stop being surprised by it and adopt it. That's the way you do. That's what you do. And if you can level up on all and any of those things, then Allah does the same thing. So you can't outgive God. That's really have that in mind. Don't deprive yourself in that. And I need to improve. Even as I say that to you, I need to improve on that. So you make dua for me on that, and I will make dua for you on that. So we're gonna finish up a little early, maybe in a half hour or so. I'm actually going to a, let's call it a political rally for one of the congressmen that's running for the Senate. But she's the only one. I'm talking about Congressman Barbara Lee. I'll go ahead and say who she is. that she like stands alone in calling for this this halt of this slaughter or whatever that's going on, this genocide that's going on there. A woman who has been for decades, she's been very, very consistent, and a friend of the Muslim community as well. So just being there and showing. So we're gonna finish up a little earlier, well, at least before 6:30, because it's supposed to be going on around that time. All right. So I thank you for your patience. Let's go into this. Last week we covered, you've been looking at the screen for a while, maybe you've read it in the time I've been talking. But what we spent time on was Imam's statement that don't underestimate the power of your knowledge. Don't underestimate the power of your knowledge. And also don't be afraid of your knowledge, okay? And so that also is encouraging to me because I mashallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu a'lam, it's like I don't come out to these platforms to speak publicly in an arena where anybody can be listened to unless I'm thoroughly satisfied at a level of certainty with what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be agreed to by everyone, but I won't say it unless I can defend it from whatever source of whatever disagreement or mashallah expansion. And if someone has a question that goes beyond what I can say and it's consistent with the logic of what I'm saying, well, then they just ask me a question that's going to extend my knowledge. But if I talk to you about these things, this is just to reinforce for you, and I know most of you feel this way already, but I want you to understand. If I come out with it, how do you get there from there? Even if it hits you like that, rest assured, it's like if you got a question for it, I'm very comfortable that I can give the one that is in this audience the answer. Allahu alam. Let's move on. So let's hit this real quick. Ontologically, it means how things actually are. Ontologically speaking and epistemologically speaking, which is speaking to the reality of knowledge, right? What constitutes knowledge, right? All natural phenomena in creation and the science of their operations are signs pointing to the ultimate reality of matters. Actually, for tonight, this is really, really sufficient. So I won't elaborate heavily on that, and I'll simply read the rest of it. In other words, every natural thing is in some way an analogy for an unseen reality. And the understanding of that empowers the one who understands it to affect life in their place and time. That is, wherever you are, if you understand that sign and you understand what it is an analogy for in reality, then if you know how to push that button, turn that knob, et cetera, then you're going to get the benefit of the sign. You're going to get the benefit of that of which it is a sign. And basically, to see and read something as a sign is to basically get the recipe. It's a recipe. The sun is a recipe for something. The moon is a recipe for something. Stars, recipe for something. Rivers, recipe for something. Mountains, flowers, bees, horses, well, they're all recipes for something, or critical to recipes. But again, recipes, when you understand them overall, it's telling you something about a way to be in creation such that you can get a benefit through following its meaning. Through following its meaning, you get a benefit in your life because you did what it was telling you in the reading. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Like the dashboard of a car or cockpit of an airplane that gives indications about all the matters which are significant to the safe and successful operation of the vehicle within its environment. So it's like you can think about the cockpit and all those buttons and switches and dials and knobs and numbers, all those things. They are telling the trained pilot everything that they need to know in order to operate that vehicle in the space that it operates in. Same way with an automobile. Automobile tells the driver everything that the driver needs to know in order to operate in that automobile in the space that they are moving through. All right, well, that's how it is with the creation. So make the cockpit the universe. Make the whatever you call the car, the cab. Yeah, the cab inside the car and its dashboard, same way. In order, so when you take that as the universe and you're the driver, if you will, you are the individual who's to look, read, understand, apply, use, turn left, turn right, push up, push down, whatever it is that you need to do in order. And that's what the universe offers us, all of the, I'm going to say bells and whistles to abbreviate things, you know, all the bells and whistles that we need to know and understand in order to get the full benefit of the nature of creation. Imam Muhammad, Rahim al-Ahulay. I'm going to try to slow down so I can, because you don't want to miss it. But the Imam says, for every system, there's a benefit. You know how the Imam tells us, Lord of the systems of knowledge? Rabbil Alameen, Lord of the systems of knowledge. He says, for every system, there's a benefit. And in order to get the benefit from a system, you have to think in terms of function. And when you're not thinking in terms of function, then you're thinking in a diseased way. I'll say it again. He says, for every system, there's a benefit. And in order to get the benefit of a system, you have to think in terms of function. But if you're not thinking in terms of function, then you're thinking in a diseased way, right? So just Lord of the systems of knowledge. So we can talk about anything, political systems, economic systems, academic systems, family systems, whatever. So every one of those systems offer a benefit. In order to get the benefit of its system, whatever it might be, you have to think in terms of function. What is it that I need to do inside of this system in order to get the benefit? And the man says, if you're not thinking in terms of function, then you're thinking in a diseased way. All right, so apply that to Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the systems of knowledge. Right? So all of these systems of knowledge have a benefit for us. Right? How are you going to get the benefit from all of these systems of knowledge? You have to think in terms of function. What does that mean? It means, what am I supposed to do in light of this particular knowledge? Right? I'll say again, I'm talking to you about things that the Imam has given us. Language, logic, sensitivity. Language, logic, sensitivity. So, language, well, I just told you about thinking in terms of function, right? So language, it doesn't matter. Tree is a language. Sun is a language. You know, whatever. Allahu Akbar is a language. It doesn't matter. Genesis is a language. You know what I'm saying? Words, they're things that you say. Everything, and the Imam said, and a word is anything that brings a message to your mind, right? Anything that brings a message to your mind is also language. Anything that brings a message to your mind is language. And whatever brings a message to your mind is also, it carries with it, that is, along with it. In fact, its meaning is the behavioral expectation. What, therefore, am I supposed to do in light of the information that this thing is bringing to me? When I understand that and when I can answer that question, then I have the logic of that thing that brought a message to my mind. It brought a message to my mind, that was language. If I understand the meaning of it, then I understand its logic. If I understand its logic, then I know how I'm supposed to behave. If I don't understand how I'm supposed to behave in light of the information that I got, then I don't have the logic, and I'll tell you, you don't have the hikmah. Kitab wal hikmah. You don't have the hikmah if you don't understand the logic, if you don't understand the functional behavior that should follow that meaning that has reached your mind. So you have to think in terms of function in order to get the full benefit of whatever knowledge / language that you come into. So, and then sensitivity. Sensitivity is what makes you alert for that very thing. You're alert for certain kind of knowledge, certain kind of logic, for everything. If I'm a doctor, then as a doctor, let's make it a medical doctor. If I'm a medical doctor, then there's certain language that's with me. And when I hear certain words out of my glossary, out of my lexicon, then I know that there's a logic to go with that language. That means I understand in my system of knowledge, what am I supposed to do when I hear hypoglycemic? I'm just saying something, right? If a doctor hears hypoglycemic, then he knows the functional behavior that goes along with that and the system in which that is occurring and what it, as a consequence, brings about and how to reverse that if need be. I'm just using that as an example for a doctor, but same way for lawyers, same way for engineers, same way for dentists, same way for congressmen, senators, et cetera. All right. When you understand that, we are in a universe that it's all of it is systems of knowledge, right? But the beautiful thing for us is that as vast as the universe is, it's still operating upon very simple principle. And that's the one I'm telling you right now. The simple principle is, read it again, every natural thing is in some way an analogy for some unseen reality that the understanding of which empowers the one who understands it, that is, thinks in terms of function based on what we said, the one who understands it to affect life in their place and time. So I'm saying, I want us to understand that you're always in the presence of the wherewithal to be able to leverage the nature of creation for your own benefit. And I don't mean that in any kind of dastardly or nefarious kind of way. It's like Allah created all this creation for us. He created it for us. Sakhara lakum ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. This is what God says. I created all this, and I created it for you. I gave it a nature to resign and give its benefit to you. Alama Adam al-asma'a kullaha. Then he told the angels to bow down after knowledge, after Adam named them, having been taught the knowledge of the nature of things. Then all the angels bowed. We'll talk about Iblis later. And he wasn't an angel. He was a jinn. Quran tells you that. So the idea is that it's all for us. Are we getting the full benefit of the systems of knowledge? Let's move on so that we may do so more readily and more easily and more expectantly, right? The arrows and lights, numbers, et cetera, they aren't the real things. When it says 75 miles an hour, right? That number on the screen is not the movement. It's just a sign telling you this is how fast you're moving. Right? So it's just a sign. It's giving you information, right? And now you need to take that information and know what you're supposed to do. What is the logic? What is the functional behavior that the functional thinking that you should be undertaking? So, okay, you're doing 75, but are you in a 35 mile an hour zone? Okay, well, then you need to slow down. That's the message from that 75 on your speedometer, right? So just relate this to whatever you want to relate it to, if you got the principle, because I have to add something new tonight. So when you understand everything is that, okay, that's the nature of creation, right? I just want us to understand that everything is in the nature of creation. So I want to speak to this sign and try to get to, inshallah, the idea of the intention. So here's a sign. Here's a sign. If you got what I said so far, then I'm going to trust that you did. So that means anything I look at, I can look at a snail. When I look at a snail, the snail is a sign of something. Now, I got to spend time, mashallah, trying to find out. And one of the ways of getting it is understanding its science. When you understand its science, right, take benefit of the ones who that's been their life. They study snails. That's fine. I don't need to study snails. They've already studied the snails and got the science. All I have to do is study what they have brought forth. And then I look for the logic. I look for, okay, what does that translate into in terms of functional behavior for me? Because when I operate in the way that I should operate based on the information that comes from that science of this thing, then it should move me forward if I abstract from it the message that relates to my human forward going, which is that's the intention of God for all the information. So God, I'm giving you this. God is saying to us, he's giving you this information. Iqra wa bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. Read and your Lord is most generous. So the generosity comes from reading the signs and the information that Allah has put in the nature of creation and translating it. I'm saying translating those meanings into behaviors appropriately, so then you get the benefit of the system. That's the principle. So let's use this as related to stem cell, and inshallah we'll be able to say a little more about intention. So a stem cell is like a master cell in your body that has the remarkable ability to transform into different types of cells, such as muscle cells, blood cells, or nerve cells. These cells, stem cells that is, are unique because they can both multiply to make more stem cells. So you got stem cells that can make stem cells, and you got stem cells that can become muscle cells, blood cells, or nerve cells, or more stem cells. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. So these cells are unique because they can both multiply and make more stem cells and differentiate into specialized cells with specific functions. That's in the nature of our makeup. Praise be to Allah. That's how we are made. I remind you again. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he says, they make similitudes for God, but forget their own creation. I mean, if we could really appreciate how marvelous we are as physical and spiritual creatures, it's like, man, it's like, MashaAllah. It's a blessing. Let's move on. All right. So creation supported social logic. This is actually what we're talking about. While we're just talking about stem cell right now, we're talking about stem cell in the light of just this pedagogical, this teaching method, and actually epistemological, this abstraction or determining of knowledge from the imam with the concept of creation-supported social logic. So you look at creation, you get the interpretation of what you're looking at in creation, and then you search out the social application for that interpretation. When you have that, then you have the social logic. When you have the social logic, now you apply it, thinking in terms of function, right? Thinking in terms of what you should do in light of the information. So when we do that, that's the actual experience of creation-supported social logic. That's what it actually is, right? Look at creation, interpret the creation with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, interpret the creation, find the behavioral expectation that goes with that meaning in creation, and then find the place for that behavior in the world, right? It could be in business world, the four birds, right? All right, let's move on. So since the potential for everything is everywhere, this 67, 1 through 4, let me see if I can get it up and read it for the record. Just going to read a translation of it, an expression of it, better say it. What about 67, 1 through 4. Surah al-Mulk, right? Surah al-Mulk, that is the Mulk, the universe, the creation. Allah is Malik al-Mulk, right? Surah al-Mulk, right? With Allah's name, merciful, benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Blessed be he in whose hand is the dominion, and he has power over all things. He created the death and the life that he may try which of you is best in deeds. And he is the exalted in might, all forgiving. Verse 3 now. He who created the seven heavens, one above the other, no want of proportion. It's beautifully well balanced, right? No want of proportion. Will you see in the creation of Allah, the most gracious? So turn your vision again. See you any flaws? And this futur is the word there, futur. And futur is also speaking about a break. When we have Eid al-Fitr, right, we're breaking the fast, Eid, right? Iftar, breaking the fast, right? And our nature is fitr, right? So it's connected with the nature of creation. He said, but you don't find it in this word, this conjugation of the word, is saying, it's being used to say, do you see any breaks in the creation? Verse 4, it says, again, turn your vision the second time. No. Go back. Look again. Right? Turn your vision a second time, and your vision will come back to you dull and discomforted in a state of being worn out. Right? So what he's saying, look for breaks. Look for splits. Look for seams. See if you can see if you find anything that can tell you that this creation is not one. This creation is one. It's seamless. The universe that we live in is seamless. Okay, so the whole idea about multiverse and all the rest of that, you know, you can let that go. Whatever it is that you're looking at, you calling it a multiverse. Like we're a multicellular creature, but we're actually one person, right? So, but each one of those things, you look at a cell, you can't call it a person. You say, look at a cell, and that's the person. No. It's like, no. It's everything is one. So just stay out there with the universe right now. The idea is that creation is one, right? Relative to this creating, small c, creating. Perhaps it is, I say perhaps, because we speak sometimes in hypothetical terms, but perhaps it is when the intention for a thing forms in the heart, and the mind of the human being with faith that it acts in the universe like the sperm meeting the ovum in fertilization. All right, let's get clear on that, very clear on the oneness of creation, right? All you got to do is just think about it. Just think about it, literally. Just think about it. Okay, you have your consciousness. Your consciousness is inside your head, right? That's the way we experience it, right? So there's some boundary between what's in your head and everything else in the nature of creation. And the nature of creation, we have to spend more time with it. But there's oneness. Everything is one. So we feel this separation. We feel this separation because we have been put into a situation in the nature of creation such that in order for us to exist, we have to have this compartmentalization. We have to have this separation. We have to have this this solitary, singular, autonomous type existence here. But consciousness is one. I have many things from the imam on this. But the idea is that one of the things, shortest way, he says, the home of the consciousness is the universe. The home of the consciousness is the extent of the universe. So the part that you and I experience as an ego, self-named individual, we experience that because that's the nature of life, et cetera. But we are not, in fact, as human beings, separated from all other human beings and literally all other minds. There is a connection between us and all other minds, but you don't need to start thinking about, trying to put thoughts in somebody's head and somebody putting thoughts in your head in any way other than like commercials and books and different things like that. But I want to move on. So the point is that this is the information. The information is that there's a connection between our thinking and the nature of creation, because it's really made of the same stuff, all right? And so an analogy for that, we're trying to get to the analogy of how when you have a thinking yourself and how that thinking virtually forms, it generates virtual forms in. You don't have it in your possession, 53, 37 through 40. I'm not going to read it right now. But you create virtual forms by the thought. You understand what I'm saying? When you have the consciousness of it and the creation itself made of the same stuff, you might feel it in your own, or you have sense of it in your own consciousness. But it is materially connected with the field of reality. Let me try to move a little faster and go through it. If you have any questions, need for clarity or anything like that, just put it in the chat and I'll look at it. If I have an abbreviated response, then I can give it. But the idea is that the ovum is now like the universe in its superpositionality. What that means is that the universe is nothing if it's not potential. This is Imam Muhammad as well. The universe is just a vast field of potential. So it's like the universe is like one giant stem cell. The universe is like one giant stem cell. And to make it more particular to us, the universe is like an ovum. The universe is like, and you have the egg symbolism in certain systems, that the egg is, can't think of it right now, but the egg is a symbol of that, okay, and the female is a symbol of that. And so when our thoughts reach that potential, and it happens just by forming the intention and forming the thought, it doesn't get nurtured, it doesn't germinate, it doesn't come to full fruition if we are inconsistent in our behavior and consistency in our aspiration to have it actualized, realized, et cetera, et cetera. I know a lot of what I'm saying might sound like a lot of stuff that you have heard, but my timing is pushing me not to take walk through those details so much. But just understand this. when even if somebody says the same thing, but each one says it with a different intention, they both said something different. If someone says the same thing as somebody else, but with a different intention, they said two different things. I could show you that in the Bible. I could show you that in Hadith. But we're not going to do it. But I'm giving you my word that's demonstrable on things that you have no question about. In any case, the connection between human intention with faith and certain knowledge, meaning certain, you're certain about the knowledge and you have certain knowledge, right? You can have the intention, but if you don't have the right knowledge for what it is that you're trying to produce, then there's a disconnect there. So when the sperm meets the egg, that means you have the intention, you have the thought, you have the idea, you have certain knowledge, and now it's connected with the right potential, right? It's in that conjunction with that nature in the universe that starts the germination and the determination of that particular thing towards coming into birth in 3D space. I'm not going to leave you without adding something else. I'm saying if you can get to a place where you can see the idea, you've seen many videos of sperm getting to the egg and then the egg, you know, multicellular evolves and grows. Okay, well, so that's a sign, which we spend a lot of time talking about. That's a sign. That's a physical thing, a literal thing, actual thing, concrete thing, scientific thing. It is still a sign. And it's a sign of something that's happening in the ghaib, a sign of something that's happening in the ghurur. It's a sign of something that's happening in the haqq, in the reality. It's a sign. You read it, okay, how does that relate to me as a human being, not the physical person, but the spiritual person, the cognitive person, the thinking person, the conscious being, right? The spiritual being having human experiences. What does it say? Because it's not until I understand what it says to that reality of me and how that translates. And I just use my body to act out what I come to understand by reading that sign. The body is like a horse. It's like, okay, now you know what you're supposed to do. Let's go. Who's doing it? The behavior. The behavior is through the body. The knowledge is through the mind, the heart, the spirit. And once the mind, heart, and spirit is convinced and clear with regard to the certainty of knowledge, then all it has to do now, that mind, all it has to do is get the body to do what it's supposed to do. That's where the self-control comes in. Can you make yourself do in accordance with the knowledge that you are certain is true? Can you make yourself do in accordance with the knowledge that you're certain is true? That's one of the meanings of illa alladhina amanu wa amalu salihat. That's a master principle. That's a master. Illa alladhina amanu wa amalu salihat. Except those that have faith and do the right thing, right? But everything I've talked about is the process of getting to that place, getting to that place. But I want to move on. Hopefully there's not a really, really big gap for anybody here. But this came up last week. It came up last week after that, and it's also one of the reasons that I was encouraged to come back with that subject. Today, we're talking about the power of intention, just in case I didn't make that explicit. So, you know, Mr. Elon Musk, he's real busy. All right? So they have this thing called neural links. So it's like drop one of the L's, neural links, right? They have actually tested on a human patient. And it says that Neuralink's first human patient able to control a mouse through thinking. Somebody volunteered to be the literal figurative guinea pig for putting this thing in their brain to see if they can move something just with a thought. This is not science fiction. This is going on. This is happening. Right? So you can see the link there. All you got to do is just put in Neuralink, Elon Musk, and you can get full of detail. All right. So that's one thing. If I wanted to just stop right there and say, hey, there's proof that thoughts are things. There's proof that thoughts can actually exert a force on stuff. Because that's what that science is saying. They control the mouse through thinking. We're going to be a few minutes over. I want to finish this line right here. So reading on, the study uses a robot to surgically place a brain computer, meaning between the brain and the computer, a brain computer interface implant. You know about implants, right? To surgically place a brain computer interface implant in, listen well, in a region of the brain that controls the intention to move. I'm stopping right there. So their science has mapped the brain to such an extent that they have found a location where the intention to move manifests. Now break that up. The intention to move. They didn't find the place where things move. He said that controls the intention to move. So I want you to see it this way. Something forms an intention, and that intention manifests at a particular location in the brain. But there's a separation between the region that controls the intention to move and who forms the intention. What forms the intention? Okay, there it is. What's there? This part of the brain region is being stimulated, and we've identified that as being the place where the intention to move is formed. But where did the intention come from? Going on, so Neuralink has said, adding that the initial goal is to enable people to control a computer cursor or keyboard using their thoughts. Now, brother and sister, we're just going to go ahead and finish up. And it's okay for you to have questions after. I want to completely understand it before we shut up. No, think about it. You know, reflect on it, study it, look for it. And I'm saying this to you as well, brother and sister. Here's the reality of where we are, right? The reality of where we are as believers. See, you can get evidence from scientists for certain things that we believe in, but there are also places and areas of our belief that scientists won't be able to prove or disprove. So therefore, we can't always just wait for endorsement or confirmation or what have you for what we believe in. The logic of the Quran and the logic of the reality of life, as we are blessed to come to understand it, it will lead us and it will lead science. It will lead to conclusions that science holds, the so-called science today, holds itself to, no, we can't say that that's true until we have actual evidence and proof and observable, experimental, repeatable, peer-reviewed, blah, blah. We can't say that. No, you can't say that. But as a believer following the logic of what Allah has revealed and taking what Allah says as true and then following that up with the creation-supported social logic, we can come to conclusions that, yes, science has not, quote-unquote, materially affirmed, but we go beyond, we don't have a dependence on science saying, oh, yeah, okay, it's all right. No, yeah, you can believe that. Amen. I'm holding back a curse word right now. It's like, man, I don't have to wait for you to confirm. As long as the logic is consistent with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, and it is a plausible a reasoning that leads to that. And the Imam said, you cannot be afraid, not only of your knowledge, but he's also said, don't be afraid to follow the logic to its conclusion. So I'm saying to you that the intention is a force. And they've demonstrated that intention has real impact on real things in this world, literally. I'm saying to you that the impact of intention transcends even what they're doing with Neuralink. It's already true, and it's already working, and it doesn't have to, and it doesn't depend on material apparatus for it to have its effect. You form an intention, then there's the virtual formation of what you intend in the nature, when we're speaking of created things, and the things that you manufacture, small c creator. At the same time that you're forming that intention, that thing that you're imagining and that you are intending, it's taking form in the space that we call creation. But it's your behavior and your continued germination of that thought and your continued expansion and reinforcement of that thought that makes it come more and more and more into your experience of reality. Allah, Adam, Allah knows best. So I'm going to call Hajar back into the room, and we're going to be, I hit you a little early there. We're going to move on. You good? Okay. So any feedback from you? I'm going to tick through some of those who have come to join us today before we close out.
I don't know. Every time, like when you ask me for the check in, right, I'm thinking to myself, it's so much to digest. It's like you got to let the digest.
Yeah, no, that's right. No. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm saying it's so much to like absorb that you take notes, right? And you look back at your notes and it's like, okay, I need to pay more attention to that. Oh, this is really striking me in my life right now. So this is the one that I'm going to start with, along with all of the things. So it's good for us to like create this grocery list of those things that we have the capacity for to really dive deeper into for ourselves and for our lives as you share those things out. So yeah, like that's always the, you know, the goal when you share this level of information, for sure.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. It's very important. As Michael Seiko just mentioned, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hadith has said there's nothing that Allah has created more useful than the intellect, right? And then Allah says in the Quran, it says, and he will send uncleanness on those who fail to use their brains. Now, everybody has a different emphasis. Everybody has a different emphasis. And the point is that whatever God has given you, you have to max it out, and you have to put it on the table for the benefit of humanity. It doesn't matter. You can be an artist. You can be a song stylist. You can be a poet. You can be a historian. You can be, you know, a classroom teacher. Or you can be a parent, you know, and if you see it as a grace that Allah bestowed upon you to model for the benefit of humanity who would subscribe to your example, then we all have that obligation. All have that obligation to do it. So I want to say, I don't want people to think that, oh man, I got to be a brainiac, I got to be a scholar, I got to be a scientist. Mm-hmm. No, you have to be what Allah created you to be, because Allah created you to be what he created you to be, so that you can be a benefit / blessing to the society. But if you try to, imitation is ignorance, envy is ignorance and imitation is suicide.
Yeah.
Envy is ignorance and imitation is suicide. So don't try to imitate anybody. It's like, oh, it looks good over there. People like people who do go over there, right? Oh, you go where you're supposed to go. And when you do that, that's how you serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the space that he has created in you and where you are. Mashallah. So that's going to be it for me today. And alhamdulillah, always a pleasure riding with you. Alhamdulillah.
Oh, always. Always.
Allah's peace be on all. Let me see if I can find my clothes on screen. There you go. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.